This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Studios live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's hour number four here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, live on Radio Row in Houston, brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois and by the Low T Center. We have football's finest coming up. We'll hit the expressway, get you caught up on everything that's happened in the world of sports here in football, the NBA trade deadline, and so much more. There's a new fight league coming out, though, the Global Fight League, and we have two of their biggest stars joining us to talk more about that and their, you know, stories through fighting. The first one of the most identifiable and popular fighters today, successful in every form of combat from UFC to boxing, wrestling, even slap fighting. Yeah. She has also been on shows like Dancing with the Stars and Chopped. Paige Van Zandt with us here.
Hello.
On 105 Through the Fan. Hello to you and your friend Hannah Goldie, one of the most popular female strawweight MMA fighters. Mm-hmm. Key selection of the Global Fight League's Miami team. So you guys are teammates here.
We are teammates for the GFL. It's a new organization. We are out of Team Miami, but there's six teams competing basically like the NFL season. You're going to see fights on Sundays and Mondays, and yeah, you get to follow a team to a championship.
So you guys going to fight every week?
No, definitely not every week. They're going to alternate. So I believe there's six teams. There's 20 fighters per team, two fighters per weight class per team. So we're the same weight class on the Miami team. And if I'm fighting, she won't be fighting. And then there's going to be just one fight card per month.
Oh, okay. So
or
you fight
two,
every other month or something like that? That's
mm-hmm.
not too bad, so
no.
You don't have to worry about
it. So, or if I would be fighting once, she would fight the next month, so you'd get a few months off.
Yeah. Right on. And what's the need for this GCL?
GFL.
GFL.
So honestly, they came out and changed the game for fighters. Like, everything that fighters have wished for that they felt like they were missing out on, they're offering to us. In the NFL, it's a 50% revenue share, right, to the players. Mm-hmm. That's what we're getting, and that's never been done before. It's unheard of in the MMA space. So as the organization grows, we do as well. So we're getting a 50% revenue share. We're getting insurance. We're getting truly taken care of as professional athletes.
So you're not getting insurance like when you're fighting with the UFC or another promotion?
You get insurance if you compete. So if I were to go compete in a fight, get injured in the fight, then you are taken care of. And different promotions, I mean, I've been out of the UFC for a while, so I'm not sure how it really relates to like training injuries and this and that, but most of the organizations, you only get covered if you get injured in a fight.
Wow. So what exactly, I mean, I know you've been bouncing around, you've been doing a lot. Like, you've pretty much covered it all now with the slap, the slap fighting, bare knuckle fighting. What's been the difference juggling all of this and then still wanting to do it?
Honestly, I love MMA, and I've been at American Top Team, the gym, for a few years now. Just because I haven't been active in MMA doesn't mean I haven't been training in it. And for me, combat sports is combat sports, mm-hmm. and competition is competition. I want to win at absolutely anything that I do, and I just want to compete. This is my job. It's my life. And I took, you know, a hiatus. I did AEW. I did Power Slap, bare knuckle boxing. And now I'm just stoked to be back in, like, my true passion, which is MMA. And I knew that I was going to go back into MMA at some point. I just didn't know where. And all of a sudden, the GFL came out knocking on my door, and it was too good of an offer to say no to.
Now, as an athlete that also does a lot of celebrity type of stuff, did the bare knuckle make you nervous that you might mess up the moneymaker or what?
Not at all. Really? No, not at all. Honestly, statistically, they say people with scars on their face are more attractive.
Okay.
And
that applies to women as well.
I don't see any scars, though. Just worried about is that.
Yeah, that's okay. The last thing. No, I've been cut open a few times. No, honestly, it's competition.
Just like she's, you know, she's a bad ASS.
She
you know?
Is.
Like, it's, and I think most females that fight could probably resonate with that as well. It's like, we're not thinking about getting cut open when we fight. We're thinking about implementing our game plan and winning the fight. You know, if you're worried about being pretty, it's not the right sport.
Right.
No.
Well, you're still pulling it off, the both of you.
Yeah,
no doubt. Appreciate you joining us here. Now, you guys say you're in the same class?
We are in the same weight class for the same team.
Yeah.
Okay, so who would win in a fight between you two right now?
Ooh. Hey, we're teammates.
You're teammates.
We only
don't
support have to. Each other
you can't
here.
Pine us against each other.
I love
it's
not a
everybody's
chance.
Pride.
What was the sell for you, Hannah?
The sell for GFL?
Yeah.
I mean, just being valued as an athlete, you know, truly, I don't feel like I've been valued the way that the GFL has valued me, and I'm just really looking forward to showcasing my new skills under an organization that is, you know, really taking care of their fighters.
So we have our pre- and post-game show host, Jared Sandler, has a big-time crush on Blake Lively. He said this on our show. We were all taken aback, but I know you've talked about this specifically, Paige, on the podcast with your husband.
Okay.
Like, really weird request, really weird DMs that you've gotten.
Yes.
And Hannah, I'm sure you have probably had the same thing. So here's what Jared had to say, and I wonder if you can relate to this in any way or if you have a story that can top it for an odd request.
All right.
Well-documented, your celebrity crush is Blake Lively. Have you been paying attention to
I
mass?
Think her farts smell awesome, and I would stand behind her if she wanted to fart in my face.
Okay, all right, let's get on out of here. Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, graphic.
Wow. Okay. No, I definitely have had some weird requests. I talked about on my podcast, someone offered me $50,000 to cut my hair. And
send him the hair?
As long as I sent them the hair. And looking
is that why
back.
Your hair's a little shorter right now?
No, looking back, I did go cut my hair like 3 months later. And I was like, gosh, dang it. I should have just taken the deal. Because I never thought I would have short hair. But now I do. No, I should have taken him up on the offer. But then I always got, like, weird with, like, clone. Like, he's going to clone me and, like.
Oh, you never know about
you
that.
You never know. Yeah. What if it was,
we don't need more than one page walking around.
No, what if it was, like, Elon Musk and he's going to clone me into another. Like, you just never know. So.
You never know.
No, I didn't go up on the deal.
Are you selling Elon out right now?
Yeah. Secret.
I mean, I'd probably clone you a bunch of times if I had that power.
Right, just get a few.
To be honest with you. Yeah. Now, are a lot of fighters watching this GFL and rooting for you guys to have success as a life raft away from this kind of scam that they're into?
Yeah, I think if you really looked at MMA fighters as a whole, like, we all support each other. Mm-hmm. We all want the best for everybody. We want to see the sport succeed. We want to see it grow. And now with the GFL, I think you're going to see a lot more fighters enticed, one, to come out of retirement, and two, just able to support themselves fully on fighting alone. And that's not really something that you've seen before. You've seen these big polarizing names. Of course, no, I don't have to fight anymore. I just do it because I love to. But you also now have these big polarizing names able to come out and be like, yeah, this is the real deal for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the roster, it's elite level. Everybody that's signed is really, it's an elite level athletes. So there's going to be some awesome matchups. I cannot wait.
What do you think about these crossover fights that we get with, like, you know, the Paul brothers, obviously trying to fight former MMA fighters? Like, is that something that either of you have had an interest in, or you just pure, the MMA community is so tight, and I do love that. I think it's the purest form of combat sports.
It's the purest form of combat sports, and I feel like once you start in MMA or once you transition to MMA, it's really where you want to stay. It's where you feel the most accomplished. Like, I don't feel truly accomplished like I do when I win an MMA fight, because that's where I feel it holds the most value. But I can't, I mean, don't get me wrong.
You did a boxing match.
I did,
right,
and I've done bare knuckle boxing and a power slab. Really, my true passion and the true success that I feel comes from an MMA fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't dabbled as much as Paige has in other combat sports, but I know, like, for me, even like when I'm sparring, if I can't use all of my weapons, like if I can't, like there's so many weapons that you have in MMA that you don't have in boxing or even kickboxing or just jiu-jitsu or wrestling, whatever it is, being able to use all of the different martial arts at the same time is like the funnest thing ever.
Yeah, and it's frustrating to go from being an MMA fighter to be like, oh, you only get to use your hands. You only get to use your most powerful tools or your sharpest tools.
And I feel like you don't get to express yourself fully either, right? It's like you're holding back, like if you started in MMA versus like obviously if you're only a boxer and you know that's where your passion lies, it's different. But like I think we're MMA fighters and you know that's what we're passionate about.
Hannah Goldie there, Paige Van Zandt, the GFL. The draft was just like a week and a half ago. When does this start?
The first card is scheduled to be the end of April.
And where do we watch it?
Los Angeles. I believe ESPN, DAZN.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice job.
We're TBA,
but talking with the biggest networks
in the world. Go follow Global Fight League on Instagram. That's where you're going to get the most up-to-date news.
Thank you, guys. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
there
you.
Yes, Paige Van Zandt, Hannah Goldie. That's been a huge topic in MMA and UFC for a long time, that the fighters weren't getting a fair shake and weren't getting the health care.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, that, and it's glad to see them branching out that way and in trying to make a better path along the way, for sure.
All righty. So we are live on Radio Row here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. A lot going on today. Just unbelievable. Emmett Smith sat down with us back there at 3 o'clock and poured the boys a shot of tequila. He was an absolute heater, man. It was one of the most impassioned speeches that you'll see this side of Michael Irvin. You know, and, you know, you could really feel his frustration coming through the airwaves and over the headset here as Emmett Smith has had enough of these Cowboys struggles. Yeah. He was asked about Ashton Jeanty. He's been asked about Ashton Jeanty quite a bit on Radio Row. His answer was, we have to know what kind of offense that they're going to run and what kind of personnel they're going to have before you decide if Ashton Jeanty is the right player for you, Brian. What were you thinking as he was saying that?
You know what? I mean, I'll tell you what. It was my when he said that, I'm like, man, he's making perfect sense here. And I'm thinking, but I'm to the point where I just need players. If I have a player that, you know, I'm not trying to put, you know, the round peg in the square hole. I'm just trying to put as many outstanding football players as I can on this team. And, you know, there's a lot of times where these coaches, you don't know, you know, as a scout. I mean, I reached out to somebody at the Cowboys and asked, I said, hey, have you had the meeting yet where the coaches tell you the type of players you want? And he said, we haven't had that meeting because our staff's not whole yet. You know, so once you have that meeting, then you're going to be able to say, okay, these are the types of guys. I just think that with Ashton Jeanty, that type of player, I'm going to add him and then I'm going to figure it out. And maybe that's the wrong way to approach it. He did give some really good reasons why, like, you know, you gotta tell me, Brian Schottenheimer, you gotta tell me what your scheme is. You gotta tell me. You could talk about running the ball. Mike McCarthy talked about running the ball. He didn't run the ball. You know, like he controlled that. He had that. So I respect the heck out of what Emmett Smith said. I just know as a scout, I'm trying to bring as many of these Ashton Jeantys to the table that can help this football team win. And we'll figure it out from there.
I mean, it's an amazing story. Like, are they going to take him? Are they going to go somewhere else? I don't know what they should do. You know, I know they need to run the ball well, and the running game is more important than ever.
Yeah.
I just know that it is absolutely mandatory that they get this one right.
Yeah.
Like, three straight firsts in a row that don't go their way might be too much to overcome.
See, I learned this last night was about Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State, who I think is the best tackle in football, in the college football draft this year. Torn patella tendon. I didn't know what the injury was. I knew it was a knee. I didn't know if it was an ACL, PCL.
Is that the worst one?
That's right down the middle. That's that tendon that holds your knee and all
your
that
kneecap
together.
On.
Right
in the,
right there together. And I heard it was pretty significant. And so now all of a sudden, you know, I need Dr. Cooper to tell me, well, hey, this is, you know, it's going to be something you're going to have to deal with. But if the best tackle on the board has a significant injury, does that take my attention somewhere else? And I think that's something that we have to ask ourselves when we get here into the draft.
All righty. We'll step aside here live on Radio Row, hit the expressway, get you caught up on everything happening in the world of sports today. An NBA trade deadline Thursday. LA Live with Lucius is coming up in about 24 minutes. And we're back here live on Radio Row on The Fan.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live on Radio Row in New Orleans. It's time to hit the expressway. We go commercial-free to the top. LA Live's going to kick off here at about 5:40 in the G-Bag Nation. Now, tomorrow, Fan After Dark's going to take over 1 hour early, so we'll be off immediately following LA Live. And Fred and Blake are going to pick us up, so we want to salute our teammates for being awesome and allowing us to duck out and make sure we get to the airport enough time to get back to DFW.
Well, Chuck, make sure you check in early.
Oh, I've set an alarm.
Okay.
So we're going to be at our family dinner tonight, 8:40. I got to get in there. We'll be good to go. I'll get us a good spot.
There you go.
Our flight here was amazing. I mean, the best flight we've ever taken as a show or as a station.
Frontier was good.
1 hour and 10 minutes. Man, just absolutely amazing.
Full rows to ourselves.
I mean, by the time you get to cruising altitude, you're already on your way back down.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, it's an easy flight.
New Orleans is a great place to be. Okay, Micah Parsons quite active. I saw him earlier. He was walking around with his buddies and stuff. So, he's been very busy, very popular here on Radio Row. But the thing that kind of set off the headlines and the discussion on national television today was said he's kind of happy that they're going to get a reset, you know, with the coaching staff. Mm. Is it a reset? Set, considering Schottenheimer's been here for 3 years, would be my first question on that, Brian.
Yeah, I don't know about the head coach reset, but man, it's the Chicago Bears staff basically on defense right now. If you look at all the hires that they've made, I think they've got one more, but the Jets guy on the D line, you're absolutely right about that. Let me tell you this, Mike is probably going to be playing on a completely different defense. When it comes to, I don't think Oso Digizua is going to be here. I don't think that Jordan Lewis is going to be here. And I hope I'm wrong. Golston, don't think he's going to be here. You know, it's going to look different.
I mean, Osa's projection is $20 million.
Yeah,
I can't see the Cowboys having an appetite for it as good of a player as he is. I think you're going to draft and then lose a guy, which is the opposite of what you say you do.
I just think this defense, it's not only it's going to be Flews and these different coaches, for Mike, it's going to look different too. I think there's some young guys that could be a part of this. I wish Carson, the corner, wouldn't have had the year he had. I wish he would have been more, healthy and and didn't get beat up as bad as he did.
Confidence definitely.
Yeah, but they're going to be different at linebacker. They're going to be different. And, we'll see what happens with Diggs, Bland. I mean, Bland coming, he'll be healthy at least. But it's going to look like a different team on defense, and maybe that's the reset. Yeah. It's not going to be a lot of the same names that we've seen in the past. It's Tank Lawrence likely being gone, So, that part of it's a reset.
You know, I wonder if though he meant is more like a vibe or a culture around the star. And I don't know, in a losing season, it's hard to have great morale, isn't it? You know, is that just the losing, Wolchuk, or do you think they have like some bad mojo to shake off?
I don't know, because it was all like, man, they're not quitting. They're showing a lot of fight. You know, that was the big conversation during the season. Like, has McCarthy saved his job? I don't, like, would that be a good culture? There seems like every offseason there's some kind of buzzword that goes around. This year it's culture. Shoddy at his presser, it's, okay, culture. I'm a culture guy. I'm a relationships guy. Now Mike is talking about the culture. Maybe there is an issue there, but I don't know that is it fixable? That's the big question. Nobody's really been able to come in and, I guess, change that. Maybe Garrett did. Maybe Garrett had his Garrett guys for a little while. I don't know.
Man, we always thought the culture – well, I shouldn't say we. I kind of felt like that the culture was good.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get guys like Zach Martin who's, you know, with talking with our guys and kind
of – A lot of them have said something was just off this year.
Something was off and something was wrong and – Dawson, I think you asked this the other day. Was it too much? Was it too much with head coach with a one-year deal, coaches with a one-year deal, you know, the quarterback,
CD all these. Lamb, hold out. All what these, else these, could explain it,
yeah,
right? Everyone on a one-year prove-it deal.
I just, man, they were just so bad to start the season. They're so bad on defense. And then you get Mike Zimmer saying, man, I wish I would have done it my way. And I'm like, well, damn it, Zimmer, why didn't you do it your way? What are you waiting on? You know, you should have gone out there and you know, but everybody was trying to kind of like, well, this defense was good and Dan did a good job and da-da-da-da-da. Man, after that Green Bay game, you should have tried to change everything you could coming in here.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't have just said, oh, well, hey, they turn people over, they get sacks, you know. No, you coach it up how you want to coach it up.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe things would have been a little bit different. I don't know. I didn't believe that the culture was bad. Maybe it was bad.
Yeah.
Maybe it was bad.
So when Micah was walking by, I just caught a tiny snippet of what he was telling his friend, and I guess this is technically off the record, but he didn't reveal anything. Mm-hmm. But all I heard him say was, obviously, I can't say that about the coaching staff in public, you know? Yeah. So I think there is what you say publicly and what you say privately, and it's amazing that once a coaching staff or a front office turns over, all of a sudden you get a whole new perspective. Oh, no, it's all for one for all. Our chemistry, our belief is high. We're going for the playoffs. Now Mike McCarthy's gone and we can start talking about this other stuff. I mean, I thought Mike McCarthy's culture was about the only good thing he did, you know, having likable players, communicating with the players. I thought all that was part of his deal.
To Zach's point, I think these players played hard because a lot of them were playing for jobs.
He had a lot of young players.
A lot of them were playing for their future. You know, I mean, if you're Oso Digizua, you're thinking, I've had some mediocre seasons here, you know, and now I'm about to try and go get paid. You better. Golston, Jordan Lewis. I mean, these guys, you know, look at, you know, with the right guard. Not Martin, you know, but.
Brock Hoffman.
They're, you know, Rico Dowdle. A lot of these guys played hard because they were playing for their futures. I don't know if they're necessarily playing for Mike McCarthy. I think they're playing for their futures, if not here, some other place.
One thing that I did see Mike, he was asked about Myles Garrett a lot. And he did say, you know, he made a pitch, like, bring Myles Garrett to Dallas. And he was asked, would you take less if it meant you got Myles Garrett? And he said 100%.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, I totally see not wanting to get into free agency and overpay for guys. But this is where you're flexible with your cap. Oh, a Hall of Famer is available.
Yeah.
You know, his salary is very digestible because he signed the contract 4 years ago. We can make this work under the cap. This is the moment that you do it. I just don't think the team is ready. Like, this would be a finishing piece to put you over the top. Like, maybe Detroit makes sense right now.
Yes.
Garrett.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. True contenders. Teams that are, or could at least convince themselves that they're a defensive player of the year type guy away from winning a Super Bowl. And the Cowboys, unfortunately, are not there right now. But if you're Detroit, if you're the Commanders, if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Wow, the Commanders,
I mean,
geez,
I just, if you're
just
the Chiefs, if you're the
mindset,
Eagles.
Dude.
Like, I mean, name that true, legit contender team. Everybody should be in the mix.
That will get violent vomiting if the Eagles trade for Myles
this
Garrett.
Time a year ago,
but that's
though,
Howie, dude. Howie's got the balls.
A year changes a lot in the NFL. Like, I know we're very pessimistic. Do I think the Cowboys are going to go and win a Super Bowl? No. But they did win 12 games 3 years in a row. And they're holding themselves, when you've paid your quarterback and paid your receiver, you're a contending team. They believe they're a contending team. To me, the whole, like, oh, they need one guy, you're over. Like, a year ago, we weren't talking about Washington in this category. A lot can change year to year in the NFL. The Cowboys need to hold themselves like they think they are a contending team because they've spent the money like they are. When you pay those two positions, you're not rebuilding. So make a move to go get a Myles Garrett and try and have the best pass rush in the NFL. Maybe that does help you contend.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man. I think the Cowboys are close enough that if you went and got Myles Garrett, had a great draft, and then spent another $40 or $50 million against the cap, you might have a good chance of plugging all your holes and, you know, being in a good situation next year if you can stay healthy and Matt Eberflus gets this defense humming along.
Yeah, if I told Chief, I go, listen, I'm going to need that 12th pick. I can pick Ashton Jeanty or trade it for Myles Garrett. He's traded for Myles Garrett.
I would do the same.
Oh, for sure.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. But that, I think Myles Garrett's probably going to, I mean, from an asset draft asset standpoint,
sure,
it's going to be
no, it's a 12
is it more
pick
than that?
And,
I don't, yeah, yeah, it's going to be heavy handed.
You're going to have a second round pick and a bunch of fives and sixes. Just get ready if you did that trade.
It is tough though. Like Walchuk, you make that point and they're kind of in this no man's land of, if you're really honest about the roster.
And I agree with
this
you.
This isn't a contending
there's
roster,
so many
now roster, but
I think there's a chance they're going to be worse than last year.
But when you pay the quarterback, you pay the receiver, you're about to pay the edge rusher, you are telling everybody that we feel like we are a championship team. They're kind of in that weird place right now. Yeah, and you don't want to be in that spot. You know, you either want to be bad enough to be clearing cap and getting elite draft picks, or you want to be good enough and going for it. And the Cowboys have convinced themselves that somehow they can stay right in the middle there and still give themselves a chance to get to the top of the mountain. Big night for Darren Woodson. I don't think I could handle it. I don't think a lot of Cowboys fans could handle it if he's left out once again and Eli Manning goes in first ballot. Apparently Eli already knows. I thought you didn't know till you get the knock. But
I think they play that up a little bit. I think all these guys know where they're at. And the whispers that I've heard around today and bumping into a Hall of Fame voter, I don't think Eli Manning's getting in. I don't believe Eli will be a first ballot. Now that's just speculation from the row.
Should he be in?
He should be in. To me, it's like, okay, Eli. Eli should get in.
Not first ballot though.
But not first ballot. There needs to be a special, that takes a special player to get in first ballot. But can you tell the history of the NFL without Eli Manning? The answer is no. No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
They had the biggest upset in Super Bowl history, beating the New England Patriots 17-0, and Eli Manning was a big part of that. I think Romo was better than Manning, but the dude won two Super Bowls, and he was super clutch in the playoffs when it mattered, which the Cowboys quarterbacks outside of Troy Aikman certainly haven't had that ability.
I'm a hater.
A 1.5-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio for Eli Manning.
Throw the fumbles in there, too.
You know, and you go old school passer rating, which can ballpark it. What do you have, like four seasons over 90? You know, like, that's low. In today's game, that's low. And I know he played a lot in the 2000s. But I don't know if he was even, like, what, a top five player on his own team.
No, but you get the two Super Bowls, and you do it beating the best ever until Mahomes might take that torch and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Like, that's pretty damn impressive.
I won a Super Bowl. We had 3 5-11 seasons in a row.
Yeah. With the Cowboys, right. I mean, well, I don't know what that has to do with Eli.
Man, winning the Super Bowl is great, but it shouldn't define me.
It does with quarterbacks, though.
Respectfully, Walchuck, I think you're putting too much weight into winning the Super Bowl as the quarterback.
I disagree 100%.
Yeah.
With quarterback, it's always Super Bowls.
But
it's all about the Super Bowl.
It's possible to have a great enough team that an average quarterback wins two Super Bowls. I'm not putting average quarterbacks in.
That's why you're not having Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson in this conversation, but they win one.
They
win two, it's not an accident. What Eli did in the playoffs, and I hate Eli Manning, too, but what he did in the postseason, you can't have watched it and say he didn't step up and make some big-time throws. I hated to watch it, but he did.
Yeah.
That Mario Manningham throw along the sideline,
boom,
that was incredible.
Yeah, and it wasn't like Eli was – it's not like we talk about those Giants teams as all-time teams.
We would hate him if he was our quarterback.
Not if he won us two Super Bowls.
Not if he steps up and makes plays that Dak and Romo couldn't do in the playoffs.
Put all those
14 and 17 points. The defense has won those Super Bowls.
That's fine.
But
he still made plays in both games to win it for
them. Every quarterback's going to make a couple of plays a game.
Not every quarterback. No.
Yes.
That's the issue with what we've had in Dallas. That's why we can't succeed.
Yeah, well, I mean, even in the games that the Cowboys lost in the playoffs.
That's because
the quarterback made some great throws.
Dak did not. Dak had the opportunities in the fourth quarters to go and make those drives. Eli did.
In the one Niner game where they scored 12
both
points.
Both Niner games.
And the Green Bay game.
When they scored 17 and 12 points.
We're not talking about Dak as a Hall of Famer, are we?
We would if he did what Eli did. That's exactly the point here.
If Dak had scored 17 points against the Patriots, he would have won the Super Bowl.
And if he wins the Super Bowl, that's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because that's what quarterbacks are defined by.
I guess I just don't agree with it. You know, I think as a voter, you should be able to subjectively look at history and analyze the role without just boiling it down to a Super Bowl.
Hey, but for quarterbacks, that's how they evaluate it. And we're talking about, again, Darren Woodson, the Cowboys' all-time leading tackler. Probably not. I don't know. I hope he gets in
that's
tonight.
The biggest
I've got
problem.
Doubts that he goes in tonight.
David Moore in the morning news wrote, "The stunning trade of Luka has rocked the Dallas sports scene in a way no other move has since the split between Jerry and Jimmy during the Cowboys championship run in the 90s. Think of anything bigger? I mean, obviously letting Landry, but that was before that.
That was a tough day. But he, you know what?
It this isn't time. As big as Landry,
it was
is
time.
It? God,
it was
is the Luka trade as big as Landry?
I don't think so. Because Tom Landry was here 28 years.
Yeah.
So, no.
He was an institution.
So. But
yeah,
it was
but
time.
You're talking about the prime, though. Like, that wasn't prime Landry when he was.
No, but man, you talk about legend.
No, no question.
Bro, legend.
But you see that in a lot of places. You just saw it happen to Bill Belichick.
How long was Luka with us? 5 years?
Seven years?
I'm sorry, I didn't
seven
remember
and a half.
Them all. I just, man,
maybe
that Landry thing, that shook the city bad. But the city. But the people who really were following the team knew it was time. It was time. So, but still, there was a lot of like, man, you treated him bad, and it was bad.
It was bad. The fan base was saying, "I'm never going to watch again," type of deal. Brian, fan reaction to that? You said people on the inside that were covering the team knew it was time. Did the fan base know it was time?
Yeah, we did. And I know as a fan, you know, his. Bill Belichick's career, how it ended, is very similar to how Tom Landry's career. When you start drafting poorly, the game kind of gets away from you, your roster's not as good. But man, there's two Hall of Fame coaches right there that kind of had the same fate. But, yeah, you knew something differently had to be done. At least I did. And did I like it? No. Did I understand it? Absolutely. But I don't think every Dallas Cowboy fan felt the same way I did.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The Lakers traded for a center using a first-round pick that the Mavericks could have had, but Nico said, Lakers, you can't call Luka and ask him if he's going to sign an extension. So the Lakers replied with, well, if we can't call him, then we're taking away one of our first-round picks today. They used that to make a trade, and the player they got should be a good alley-oop threat. Apparently, Luka told them, I'm at my best when I have an alley-oop threat and a lob player there in pick and roll. So they picked that up for him, and I just think that makes it sting a little bit more. Baseball, the guy that was being Ohtani's personal assistant, dude,
Hipe
Mizuhara, sentenced to 5 years in prison for stealing about $17 million of Shohei Ohtani to repay gambling debts. He says, I want to say I'm truly sorry to Mr. Ohtani for what I have done. Holy cow, $17 million. Time to go into the Pimp Cup, where our million-dollar man, Lucius Alexander, has LA Live.
Yeah, man, my aunt has stopped messing with the Cowboys ever since they got rid of Landry. She's
That's
been trolling them ever since.
Yeah, there we go.
That's right.
Trolling them ever since. And I'm pretty sure after those three Super Bowls, you know, she had a hard time.
Yeah.
But ever since then, it's been smooth sailing for her.
Yep. It has. She made it through the trial. Yeah,
she made it through. All right, let's get into a Ladies Night edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance some of everything.
Everybody dance.
See, it's a hard thing. I don't have sex. I'm celibate and got all them toys in your drawer. Don't tell nobody that. I'm gonna sit right here. Because somebody going to get rid of their roles when they get home. Tell your neighbor, I want to be free for real.
Yeah. This is LA Live for Thursday, February 6, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday Ladies Night edition of LA Live here. Shout out to all the lady tolos listening. And shout out to the thotties, too. Man. Shout out to the thotties, too. It's not just the ladies, but the thotties, too. We don't judge. It's all love. It's all love. Speaking of ladies, too, I might need your help on this, fellas. Give me some female names people don't name their daughters anymore. Give me some old school female names people don't name their daughters
anymore.
Go with
Thelma.
Thelma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see no 20-year-old Thelmas running around out here.
Delilah.
Delilah.
Delilah. My niece is Delilah.
Oh,
Gertrude.
Ooh, okay, yeah, Gertrude. Definitely a Gertrude.
Big Gertie.
Man, ain't no 12-year-old Gertrude running around.
Yeah. Like Martha.
Yeah, Martha. I got Myrtle.
Myrtle's a good That's one. A good one.
Oh, Pearl.
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 Pearl. Alberta. I only got that one because I actually know an Alberta. She's about my age.
We she's call the her, last one.
We call Yeah, she's the last of the Mohicans, fam. We call her Berta.
Berta.
She plays football, too.
That's a fat jack. Big defensive tackle.
We're taking Berta. She's going to be on our team. Berta, you're over at the last call.
Go, Berta. Yeah, send it to the fan text. What's the fan text name, fellas?
Franklin Frankel, injury attorney text line.
That's what I'm talking about. Had to get that in, 542.
Got some nice. Helgas in here, too.
Ooh. Some Helgas?
Helga. Yeah.
Helga. Okay.
Ophelia.
Ophelia. Yeah. Yeah, there's no young Ophelias running around
Ethel.
Out here.
I've never even met an Ethel.
We definitely made a big turn at some point towards cute names. You know? Some of those old ones, they sound a little too masculine.
Phyllis. When you say masculine, Phyllis.
Ooh, Phyllis yeah, is that's great.
And shout out to Emmitt Smith, man. He came through grooving off that tequila.
Man, wow, tequila's good. He's sober. Bringing it back for you.
He came through grooving off that tequila. I'm definitely hitting the liquor store up after I get out of work. Yeah, I got to get some of that tequila, man. My man's feeling nicey.
It's good.
And if it could make me talk like that for 5 hours, I think I'd go back to drinking.
It sure will. You keep drinking it straight, you will. Drink it straight. You definitely will, fam. Put a little ice on it.
It tastes good.
All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all on G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Mr. Broadus, day four. He sounded like that kid from Superbad. Couldn't get it off his mind. But my man was just actually talking about sleeping bags and sporting goods stores.
I would have gone and bought a sleeping bag from, like, Dick's or one of those sporting goods stores and just said, here, listen, just get in that. If you get cold, you know.
Zip it up.
Zip it up, yeah. I just can't be sick, you know.
Well, speaking of Dixon Sports, Big L to okay. all of us, we lost.
I knew you were going to do something with that.
Well, we lost.
I was thinking of another sporting goods store, and I couldn't think of another name, like Oshman's or something like
Sports
that.
Sports Authority Academy. Sports,
I couldn't, yeah. And Dix immediately came into my mind. Pause.
Hey, pause. Said it. Four pauses.
Gosh.
And on that note, Lucius, I was just looking up on the internet, you know, expired names or whatever. There is actually a name, Oral Lee.
Ooh, Oral Lee. Yeah. Shout out to Opal Lee. My grandmother's name is Ernie May.
Okay. Ernie.
Some old school names right there, bro.
I bet you Ernie May can cook.
Apparently, Nimrod is an actual name for men. Well, from way back in the day.
Nimrod.
Yeah. Have fun with this.
That's Mike Bassick's favorite word. He likes to call people Nimrods.
Yeah. I got to find the origin of
fart faces.
Yeah. Hey, Eric.
Oh, yes, sir.
You the one told us about this. Remember that plus-size OnlyFans model that got her leg broken by Tyreek Hill?
I do. Allegedly, oh, yes.
Yeah. While playing football?
In his backyard.
Well, she went through one of those depositions. I'll tell you what, them depositions will eat you alive. Sitting in front of the lawyers, and they get to ask you all these questions. Unless you're a super rich millionaire, like, you can't really talk crazy in those depositions unless you're a millionaire, famous, you know.
Did they put her in the spin cycle a little bit?
Yeah, they put her in there so much where she admitted that she, her and Tyreek were intimate that same night.
Yeah. With broken leg?
Playing through injury.
Yeah, that adrenaline must have been high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes nature calls. Respect to the toughness.
Through this. I don't know how that's going to work for the case.
No.
But, yeah.
Dismissed?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to work for the case, but I wanted to give you that update. I seen it going down the timeline.
Thank you.
Yeah. She probably doesn't have a leg to stand on now.
Yeah, there we go.
Bow. What else we got right here? Hey, LA Live, 105.3 The Fan on a ladies' night. You guys seen that American woman in Pakistan? She got caught up catfishing?
No.
Oh, yeah, she's asking for money to get out, right?
Yeah, you go, Broadus. Yes.
Broadus, think about it.
Yes. Yes, she is 32 years old. She was catfishing online.
How much did you give her?
What's that?
How much did you give her?
No, I didn't. I didn't have my cards on me at the time. I couldn't remember my password.
If you're ever in town, let me know.
My man said, I'm fresh out. Sorry about that. I'm fresh out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, she met a 19-year-old dude from Pakistan online. They fell in love.
She got trapped.
They fell in love. They wanted to get married because the whole time he's thinking this is something different. He doesn't understand he's being catfished. She flew out to Pakistan so they can get married. She flew out in like October. When she got there, she met the family, and they was like, nah, fam, this ain't it.
Nope.
You got to get on out of here. So she started camping out in front of their house. She never left. She stayed there for the longest. Then her visa started to run out. So she ended up holding this press conference.
Yes.
With all of the media there in Pakistan about her situation. She says she wants $100K, like Broder said, from the Pakistani government so she can help build Pakistan up and let her put $20K in her own pocket.
What is going on?
Yeah.
$100K to rebuild Pakistan. That's very cost effective, though. Yeah. Sounds like she does good work.
Yeah. Very efficient.
Hey, let me call that contractor. Got some projects around the house at that rate.
Listen to these clips from this press conference this lady had out there in Pakistan. They're being so patient with her. Listen to it.
My plan is to reconstruct this whole country, okay? I'm asking for $100K or more. I need $20K by this week, okay? In my pocket.
Yeah.
In cash. Okay? That's a demand to the government. The government is going to fix up these buildings, fix up the streets, and clean up these streets. It's ridiculous out here. I do not like it.
It's ridiculous out here. I don't like it.
Straight cash in the pocket.
She's demanding the whole damn government. This is the craziest story I've seen.
I can't believe they're even giving her the time of day.
They're all so patient with her.
20 by the end of the week.
They're asking her questions. You know, they're holding a microphone up in front of her. It's like, well, what else is going on? What are you going to do with the money? This is how she talks to the interpreter.
My dear American sister.
I'm from Pakistan. Respect to the law. Okay. Respect for the law. Okay. Respect to Allah. And respect to God. Do you hear me?
Yes, my Pakistani sister. Okay, sister? It's not okay.
I hope he's saying the right things, okay? Like I said, Pakistan needs to be reconstructed the right way.
Listen.
Can't disagree. I didn't know that about Pakistan. Apparently very patient with the rebellious woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Or she might end up buying bars or something like that.
I hope he's saying what I just said. Yeah, man, pretty wild story right there. Yeah. Check it out. I think she's on her way home.
Oh, she got money to get home.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, she was asking for plane tickets. Yeah. She had offers for plane tickets. She turned them down. There was dudes offering to marry her out there in Pakistan. She turned those guys down.
Yeah. Beggars can't be choosers, man.
This is a crazy story, bro. Yeah. Crazy
woman
story.
On a mission.
Yeah.
I got no time for your romance.
Yeah. This is how she ended it. Let's get out of here.
I'm asking for $20K right away in my pocket at the end of this week. That's all, folks, for today. That's it. He have nothing else to say. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you.
But why are you demanding 1,000K to government in which country?
100K.
100K.
For real estate.
For real estate.
I'm putting it back into the city. It's not going in my pockets. I want 20K in my pockets for me.
Yeah, there you go.
It's private. I'm Muslim and it's against my religion to tell y'all my business. Have a nice day.
She needs 120K, 20 for her, then 100 for whatever the hell she needs to do.
That's not bad. I mean, 100 grand for supplies, 20 grand for labor. Bang, Pakistan rebuilt.
Yeah, you're mad at that, bro. That's a wild, wild story. I can't believe.
Pakistan rebuilt.
She's got her future as an ambassador of Pakistan.
Oh, jeez.
You got to do something, man. Hey, we're doing a giveaway here on Odyssey.
Okay.
Yeah. Get this
love. This is the greatest giveaway I think I've heard in radio history.
Yeah. Make sure you get that hour of fan listening in today on the Odyssey app, because that will enter you into the Odyssey National Contest for you and three of your friends to go to Vegas to watch the college basketball championship, airfare, and you'll be staying at the Circa Resort Casino, Las Vegas' premium sporting viewing destination, and home of Stadium Swim, which is really awesome, bro. And here's the really sweet part. You will be going with $20,000 to spend. So get that hour of listening in on the Odyssey app for your entry to win our Slam Dunk Odyssey National Contest. Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Good luck and God bless. Good luck and God bless.
Stadium swim.
Yeah,
that's something else. I just Googled that. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
It's epic.
Yep.
Yeah, my buddy was out there in Vegas. He was sending me photos of him watching the game in the
it's
pools.
So cool.
Yeah. He kept showing me his toes. I was like, show me the TV and everything, right?
Well, he knows what you like.
Yeah. Hey. Your toe guy, Lucius.
Yeah, you know it, man.
Watch the game with me.
You know it. He knows it. Last one. There's a CEO in Australia that is in some hot water for telling his employees it's okay if they do drugs and hook up. As long as you don't do it at work.
Out of the office.
I don't see the problem. I really don't see the problem, but he's in trouble. His name is Stephen Carter. He is the CEO of Sharp and Carter, which has a deal with the International Olympic Committee for the 2032 Olympics. Okay, so he's in trouble with the Olympic Committee, and he's messing up a deal for the whole company. He made this announcement at a Christmas party just last year. This man is fighting for his life right now. Let's go to 7 News Australia for this Australian report.
He's the company boss that shot to notoriety this week with this.
I take drugs myself, I just don't do it at work events.
Whoa!
Stephen Carter.
My man said, I take drugs myself, I just don't do it at work.
Whoa! It's quite a mentor.
Whoa!
With this.
I take drugs myself, I just don't do it at work events.
Yeah. Stephen Carter, recruitment firm CEO, in hot water over his staff speech before the company Christmas party.
But if you're going to cheat on your partner, if you have to do it,
Mr. Carter's company, Sharp and Carter, runs recruitment for Brisbane's 2032 Olympics, and the Deputy Premier isn't happy.
I take drugs myself, I just don't do it at work events.
Seeing the video himself for the first time today.
So, I've seen enough. We'll get some more details. It's completely inappropriate, and I'll be asking you please explain from the President of the 32 Committee.
The Olympic movement is anti-drugs, anti-doping. Brisbane's organising committee extremely disappointed at the inappropriate comments. This is a very serious matter. We will be assessing our partnership moving forward.
Man, I hope that CEO just comes out and stands on that business. You know what I'm saying, Lucius? Say, hey, you know how I feel about this?
Yeah.
How good are you at your job?
Yeah.
You know, we have been brainwashed by the DARE program starting in the 80s to this point as a global society to think anybody that does drugs is inherently bad. We're doing more drugs in America than the rest of the world combined. We're still more productive, number one economy. Humans need something to cope until they find enlightenment, and most of us never find it. So however you're coping, I would say if you can show up and pull off your 9-to-5 and kick ass and sell or do whatever it is, what you do in your free time is none of my damn business as an employer. And I wish our entire world could get that through their heads. You know, we're here for somewhere between a couple of years and 100 years, right? And a lot of life is suffering, you know? That's why the U.S. pharmaceutical industry is slamming Xanax and Valium and Klonopin down the housewives' throats. Because of how much suffering life is, you know, and people, I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is genius because they managed to recruit, you know, our government into helping them, you know, deliver these drugs across the country. But, you know, hey, it's tough. Life is tough, and many people are looking for something to cope.
I don't know if you guys saw the movie Side Effects. Came out, like, probably 10 years ago now.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But that's eye-opening.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Absolutely.
She deeps beneath the lasers.
Sounds good. Oh. Yeah, it's awesome.
I think the Colombian president just came out and said that cocaine is only illegal because it's coming from Colombia and it's not more dangerous than whiskey.
Wow, now this might be going too far.
It's not true.
You know, if you need health care, please contact us. We'll help you. Cause, I mean, that can destroy lives, you know? But if I don't know. I can tell you this Nimrod name's been on one hell of a journey. Biblical name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
Jewish roots. Mm-hmm. In the 16th century, it meant a tyrant. 17th century meant a hunter. And now it is, you know, used to describe somebody foolish or simple-minded.
Yeah.
It's had a lot of uses. Wow, quite the evolution, man. Yeah, biblical name. Yeah.
Shout out.
What a journey.
Great for that knowledge right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, if you're doing drugs and drinking a whole lot, but if you're really good at your job, I might just turn the other cheek. I could be the GM, and they can catch a Luca out there on a Mexican beach buying cocaine, and guess what? He's still on the squad, baby!
Put up triple-doubles, all good, baby.
He's still on the squad. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. I'm out of here. Holla.
There he goes, Lucius Alexander, off into the night here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. LA Live is every night at 5:40. Okay, we got 1 hour to go, and at the top of this next hour, it's time for a Chuck Wagon Wheel. Chuck, where are you taking it?
Rob Ryan's intro pressure goes off the rails, and why is it always a Cowboys tight end? That's next.